So that's good. It's like, it's hot in this car, but it is raining outside. I got a cheeseburger and fries, and I got two just regular taco, or I guess they call them the Del Taco now, which is just, you know, it's like hard shell ground beef taco. So, you know, I have gotten twice as much food at that Del Taco in the past, and it's never a good idea. So, at least that is less food, but still, it is fucking 8:45. But also, I woke up at 5, so let's just call that lunch. Or breakfast, I guess. I don't know. No, let's call it lunch. Let's only eat one more time today, if that. And then as I was deciding which brand of water to get, some girl walked in, looked at the cooler, and stopped at the beer section and said, yeah, beer, my favorite. And then realized that I was within earshot and said, I'm being sarcastic. I was like, Yeah, I said, all right, sure. I don't know how much of that conversation made it out over the waves, out to the space and back again, down to wherever you are. But I thought that was pretty funny. I don't know. You heard it all. All right. Good. Taking that girl to jail. I think she bought some kind of Mountain Dew or something. I don't know. Y'all turning? Y'all not turning? Y'all soft. I'm going. Raining. So if you're just joining us, I'm in the middle of fucking I-5, leaving Santanella, apparently listening to Greg the Hammer Valentine's theme song. Because I'm listening to a terrible Spotify playlist that is on my Spotify account. Is someone in chat will link it, probably. It's called The Great Drive Experiment. You, yes you, can add and subtract things from said playlist. And I don't know how that'll go. So far it's been going exactly how I expected it would go. Tradition is a real motherfucker. The things we do because it's what we've always done, it's bad. I should not have ordered any food at that Del Taco. But I felt like I had to. I felt like the choice was out of my hands. When I get back on out in the open road here, maybe we'll get into some questions from y'all. I will open up the phone line on account of... Sorry. On account of I can't really look over at chat. That's not something I can do while I'm driving a car. That's not okay. But hands-free phone calls that I can answer and hang up on with a button on my steering wheel, that seems okay. Yeah, I will drive for a little while longer here, and then maybe we'll crack open that phone line, turn on the Google Voice. Oh, good, more remixes from the guy that did that Move That Dope remix. Power of power. It's summertime, so that means the fair is coming back to Petaluma, my hometown, which can only mean the Tower of Power will be playing there soon. It wouldn't be June if there wasn't a sign up somewhere that said, "Hey, Tower of Power's playing the fair." I ended up throwing away a significant portion of that food I just ordered, which is probably for the best. Instead, I think of it as paying a toll. In order to drive through here, I must stop and give them at least $15. clearly Iggy Pop's finest work. Oh, here we go. Finally some good music, you know? Time to play the game! This whole area I'm driving past has been burned. All this grass is gone. Must have been a big-ass fire through here. Oh yeah, it's just as far as the eye can see on the right side of the freeway, just gone. Gone. Being honest here, this is probably like top 10 wrestling themes, right? I mean, in terms of just like raw listenability and kind of just attitude it conveys. I mean, that's what you do. You know, it's what happens when you go fucking get Motorhead to record you a thing. It's good. It comes out good. When you get the guys in the back to write you the music, hey, fucking Jim Johnston, or, you know, was it CFO, whatever the fuck they are, get them, then you get fucking, it's a roll of the dice, man, it's a roll of the dice.
Big time, that would be time. Hands up, baby, don't you see this big man?
Now, see, I could be going like 90 here. We all could be, if we all just agreed to go 90. It's a two-lane road. Right lane, all trucks. They got a great big convoy. Rocking through the night. They got a great big convoy. It is a beautiful sight. And I would join their convoy. But they're going too fucking slow. Tear up all my swindle sheets and leave them sitting on the scales. But, you know, as a result, you know, when one truck passes another truck, that creates a bottleneck of traffic, which I don't know if that's happening now or if it's just people get scared because they're driving next to 1,000 screaming trucks. Now one truck is passing another truck, so now we definitely have to slow down. But before that, it just seemed like people were like, oh, trucks, oh. Have any of the other game-oriented streaming services latched on to, like, kind of bullshit, overrated, old dance songs yet? Have they found their identity? I'm gonna side with whichever one chooses Busy Child. Maybe that's too new. Maybe even that's a little too new. I don't know. Service is claiming It Wasn't Me by Shaggy. That's the one I would consider streaming to. This is my favorite Eddie Murphy fan fiction of all time. Oh, here we go. Fresno County, what's good? I kind of like listening to, like, full-length versions of songs you know from DDR is usually, like, a losing proposition. Because there's, like, minute 30 versions that get fucking pulled together for DDR are, like, the fucking meat of those songs. It's like, all right, this is the fucking prime 90 seconds. Whereas we've been listening for 2 minutes now, and I'm not even fucking there. I'm not even to the point I need to be at. Is that these extended versions of these songs from DDR, it's like pornography with plot in it, you know? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Dubstep remix of Dragula. No one. Oh. I guess it does pull updates of the playlist while it's playing. Or something. Yeah. Because it just came up and was like, yo, there's no songs. No, it's showing. It's weird. It's flipping back and forth between having a zillion songs on it and having zero songs on it. Whoa, it's like an alarming speed. Maybe that was something else. Maybe that was some other problem. I don't know. truck is swerving. I gotta pass this truck before something bad happens.
Something you call okay. love, but confess.
We're all right. For now.
You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'. And now someone else is
I like the song best when you just hear the first few notes of it at the beginning of Me So Horny.
And that's just
you know?
What they'll do.
Oh, okay, yeah. What do we get for $10? You know?
Chicken tail feather.
If I was driving to LA and it was like, you know, 1997 or something, then yeah, sure. As opposed to this, which is the sound of right now. Ah, yes. A proper break. Clouds are starting to clear up a little bit of down the road here. Oh, we're also in the neighborhood of all the Congress-created Dust Bowl signs.
Thank you.
put on sunglasses pretty soon here at this rate. Oh. Sunny, but now it's still like kind of lightly drizzling on my windshield. This is just scary now. Great, there's an album on here called Video Game Dubstep. That's really, you should probably just grab all this and put it on that Trackmania server. It's bound to all be good, right? A pretty good way to make a dubstep remix of this Halo theme. I just think that whoever did this did not find that way. They didn't find it. Very disappointing. Oh. podcast just sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, I would rather listen to that fucking Halo dubstep remix than anything by Enrique Iglesias. Sun's starting to beat into the car a little bit here. It's getting uncomfortable for this long sleeve light jacket I'm wearing. Already better than the Halo one. Nope. I don't like, I feel like the melody of the original music could be chopped up in a cooler way, and fucking Pac-Man ghost fucking sound effects have no place in this at all. Ms. Pac-Man, like, what the fuck is that even doing there? Disappointed. Alright, it's 9:30 in the morning. Why don't you give me a call? 107-925-262. A couple of those.
Police reported ahead.
Sarasota, Florida. Hello, who's this and where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up? I'm Jack from Florida.
Hey, Jack, how's it going?
Going all right, man. How's the drive?
It's going all right so far. I feel like I'm making pretty decent time. Stopping for food was pretty quick, but...
Each time you do it.
Easier. Depends on why I'm going and stuff like that, but... this one's been pretty easy so far.
Right on. The main question I had for you was, do you think that this E3 is going to be a do-or-die moment for VR? And if the answer is no, how long do you think VR has to prove itself before that do-or-die moment comes?
I don't necessarily feel like it's a do-or-die moment. I think that, like, VR is going to be one of those things that... Well, like, the tech is proven. Like, the tech is here, and it works, and it's not going to go away. It's a matter of, like, you know, will there be mainstream acceptance of it this year? Like, no, definitely not. Like, it's still too expensive. Like, the setups are still too weird for most of the good stuff. And, you know, I think that Sony's VR stuff has been, like, a fine entry-level thing. But, it hasn't worked super well for me. And I think it's not definitely not the best VR out there. So I think we will be seeing a number of new VR games over the next handful of days here. But I don't think anyone in VR right now is sitting there going like, yeah, we're gonna make so much money on this thing. You know, it's still kind of this nascent thing. It's still kind of this niche thing that, you know, will grow. And there's enough money behind it that it probably won't go away. It might never grow into some big mainstream phenomenon until the tech is way cheaper and way easier to put in your home. But I don't think it's going to go away.
Right on. But were you able to catch some news about the Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference? Because they made a bunch of announcements with relation to augmented reality, and I just wanted to know if you thought maybe that's kind of a different direction for what the industry is trying to do as far as doing new things for video games.
I think that they're going to eventually merge and become the same thing. I think that, you know, AR is definitely like the way forward once the tech is sufficiently advanced. But like HoloLens, last time I tried it, was not there. The Magic Leap stuff sounds like it's got some issues as well. But, and you know, like VR obviously can't do AR. But a sufficiently good pair of AR goggles, glasses, whatever, will be able to black themselves out to do VR as well. To kind of fill your full field of vision or most of it with that. So when we get to that point, everything will be AR. I think that just makes sense, and the techniques are similar enough, and they'll merge in some meaningful ways down the line. But you know, like last time I put on any kind of AR stuff, it was a HoloLens, and like the screens were so small that they can only draw things in small squares at the center of your vision, nothing at the periphery. So, like with that, it just, you know, it wasn't something you would really use for a video game. It just because the it couldn't project onto enough of your field of vision, your field of view to be good. So when they solve those problems and all that stuff, but I think like that's a problem they need to solve for AR. I think for all this stuff, they also need to make tracking easier. And you see more of the headsets, like or you know, Oculus has prototypes that are inside-out tracking, where the headset itself also does the tracking. And as that stuff improves and it gets to a point where you just buy a headset and put it on and it works, I think that'll really bridge the gap for a lot of people that don't want to hang up stuff in their house and, you know, set up these sensors all over the place. Like, that's a huge barrier to entry for a lot of people right now. So I think that, you know, we start seeing the second generation, third generation tech out of VR and AR and all that sort of stuff, it'll eventually become kind of one way forward through all that stuff. And, you know, that stuff will get better.
And so you don't think there's going to be a definitive moment, whether it be a game or a specific part of the technology, where VR, quote-unquote, proves?
As more headsets get out there, that will be better at incentivizing people to start to make bigger things for it. And it'll all line up over time, but, you know, but I don't know that it's necessarily going to be anytime soon. 2 or 3 years, maybe. All right, this is Canada. Hello, who's this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's James. I'm calling from Ottawa, Canada.
Ottawa, how's it going?
Not bad.
Cool.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to, ask you, you know, having gone through the Destiny thing, do you think it felt a little like they were preaching to the choir? Like, I just feel like their whole presentation was kind of like, yeah, this is why you who like Destiny should continue to like Destiny. And I don't really feel like it's going to pull new people in.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I mean, yeah, like they've got two pitches, right? They've got a pitch to the people that like Destiny and say, hey, please keep playing Destiny even though we are destroying your characters and your loot and all that other stuff. And then they also have to, like, kind of also motion to the people that had a problem with Destiny to say, hey, we heard you, we know that there were problems with Destiny, and we have done what we can to fix those problems, and you should really come back and give it a look. But they sold a ton of copies of that thing regardless, so, like, you know, preaching to the choir, it's a really big choir, so it's...
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, they can kind of get away with that, I think. But yeah, I mean, they kind of said, hey, we're making more Destiny, and we've thought about some of the big deficiencies that game had. But they've been thinking about that with all the expansions they've done, too. So it's really, you know, it's only the people that played, like, launched Destiny and never played it again that probably have, like, a super negative view of it. I'm guessing.
Yeah, which seems to be like a lot of people from, I mean, just from my friend circle, like there's a bunch of people I know that just touch that thing and just like went, nope, okay, I'm good.
Yeah, and that's why they're trying to do stuff around like, hey, are there better ways we can go about getting people into the raid because that's our best stuff, and boy, isn't it crazy
right.
That you have to like, you know, you have to jump through a zillion hoops to see the best thing we made for this game. Like, that's crazy. So I don't know that their approach will necessarily work, but it's smart that they're at least thinking about it and trying to figure that out.
I'm still waiting for the big Kotaku investigative piece on what went wrong with, like, Destiny 1 and, like all that.
All that
development cycle.
I think that a lot of it is stuff that, you know, applies to that Mass Effect story they wrote where, I mean, there was a lot of it was, a lot of the original Destiny stuff was, like, tool chain stuff where, like, hey, it took a long time to build the thing that they wanted to build, and their tools were not great. Some of that stuff, they probably wasted a lot of time just rendering things out with every small change they made, that, you know, leaving stuff running overnight. That didn't help. They had a bunch of big story ideas that didn't come together for one reason or another. I think just the nature of what that game was constantly changing. I talked to someone who had worked on it, like, the week before it shipped, and that person was like, yeah, it's really crazy. Like, I was working on this end game stuff that is not launching in the game, and now I'm not even sure if it's going to even be in at all. And yeah, it was just, like, a lot of a lot of really crazy stories like that around that game.
Yeah, I know a guy who was on the C4 team, and he had kind of the same stuff to say, like, yeah, I don't know, I'm not super optimistic about this, I don't know what's going on. And that thing changed, like, inside talk, that thing changed producers, I think, like, three times or something.
Yeah, totally. Sometimes games go sideways, sometimes people don't get along, and people have to shift around, and visions don't line up, and sometimes people get in fistfights in studios, and suddenly they're out looking for to do something else. And this, all kinds of weird shit.
Crazy business.
Yep. Cool. All right.
That's why I got out. Anyway.
Yeah, that's smart.
You enjoy your drive, man.
Yeah.
Take care.
Yep, see ya.
Yep.
Call from.
Hey, this is John from Colorado. I wanted to ask about the Xbox One and Scorpio. Do you think it's going to be a Windows 10 machine?
I mean, every Xbox One is already technically kind of a Windows 10 machine.
Yeah, you're right. I was wondering, like, mouse support, or if it's going to be more of a PC, advocate going to run Steam, that kind of stuff.
No.
That they would announce that necessarily, but...
No, I don't think that they'll do that. I think that they... Like, for people that want that, those people will just get a PC. Like, this thing is designed for people that are scared of getting a PC still, for whatever reason.
True.
Or they just, they want that closed system experience, and... Washington State. Hi, who's this? Where are you calling from? Yeah. Hello. No? Alright. Oh, hey.
Jeff?
Hi, hello, I can hear you now.
Oh, shit. Alright, hang on. Mixler's gotta calm down.
Alright. Please turn down your radio.
Hey! Yeah, no shit.
What's on your mind?
Hey, listen, dude.
Yeah.
You've been to California Extreme, right?
I have, yeah.
So, you'd think I would've checked the name of the thing before I called you, but I guess today we're going to Washington State's equivalent.
Oh, okay.
And what I need to know is, I need to know what tables I need to go for first before everybody, like, what do I need to see?
Oh, I don't know. Because California Extreme is all, like, volunteer run, where, like, people in the area bring their machines. So it's always hard to know what's going to be there, except that California Extreme, like, usually the same stuff is there every year because it's the same volunteers bringing the same machines. In terms of just, like, pinball machines and stuff like that I would want to play if they were there, like, I'm a big F-14 Tomcat fan, so I always play that and High Speed and High Speed 2 and Black Knight or Black Knight 2000. As far as, like, pinball goes, that's usually... the stuff I'm after. Usually people, like, trying to crowd around the newer stuff, if that's there. So, like, last time I went to California Extreme, it was right after Tron came out. So people were just going crazy for that. So I didn't even get to play that. But, I don't know. It's,
they've been releasing some...
Yeah.
They've been putting out some videos of, I guess, some new tables that have been making the rounds. How do you feel about tables that are, like, predominantly screen and not as many moving parts, more like, I don't even know how you would describe that, more, like, it's, they showed one table that looked like it was just a giant LCD screen with two flippers on it.
Right, yeah. That's, yeah, there are people that have taken, like, TVs and just mounted them in a pinball, like, machine proper and, like, made digital pinball machines and stuff like that. That stuff's kind of neat. You know, it doesn't feel quite the same, but I think it's cool in its own, in its own right. So, yeah, I think that stuff's worth looking at just because it's so fucking weird. But, yeah, I don't know. When I make the rounds and stuff like that, like, California Extreme, since it takes place close to where Atari ran its arcade business, like, there are a handful of prototype games that never got released that show up at that thing. Like, well, not even all of them are Atari, but, you know, some Atari machines. But then also, like, there's a guy who sometimes brings a Beavis and Butthead machine that's, like, interesting to look at. He's like, man, that never came out. That's weird. Or, like, a Judge Dredd, I think, is another one. But yeah, if there's stuff like that, I would try to find that, because you know that's sure. stuff that's hard to see on a regular basis. But you know, I think it depends on who you're with. If you want to play some fighting games with people, you know, maybe make your way over to that stuff or whatever.
All right, fair enough.
Cool.
Appreciate the time, man.
Yep. See ya. Arcade machines. Battery remaining over here on my iPad. That's weird, because it's plugged in. Maybe I've got the cables swapped, because there's one that's high wattage and one that's not. I'm gonna hold off on the phone calls for a sec here while I try to address this situation. Oh yeah, I did. That's exactly what I did. I plugged in the wrong cable. iPad, so it's getting iPhone appropriate wattage. Okay, now where did that other cable go so I can plug it into the phone? I'm gonna do all this by feel. I'm in a spot with no phone signal, so maybe you can't even hear me. I don't even know. No service. But my iPad has service, which is weird because they're both Verizon devices. Anyone really hear anyone? Yeah, that's a good point, really. Think about it. That means a couple of things. That means the Spotify playlist is not going to work. And calls can't come in, so let's, I guess we'll push pause on all of that for now. Jesus Christ, what the fuck is wrong with me? Man, we'll see what's on the radio. Ah, good. Yeah, this is good. Kings County. Oversized vehicle up here. It is a truck hauling a house or a portable building or something. Oh, it just, the way it sways back and forth in its lane is just so fucking unsettling. Someone's in there having a fist fight with Jet Li, I can feel it. Alright, it appears we caught the iPad just in time, because it is up to 7% battery now and charging, so... Congratulations, everyone. We did it. Oh, man. The decision to wake up at 5 in the morning is starting to... play a role here. The decision to eat a hamburger and a taco at 8:15 in the morning. Probably contributing factor here. This drink I opened hours ago is pretty much empty. Now officially empty. I bought another Rockstar at that store with the Del Taco attached. I wonder if Nintendo's gonna have a big show. I mean, not that you look. I mean, they're definitely gonna have Mario in some kind of significant form. So, in some ways, that kind of guarantees it's a big show. Because that is a, you know, it's a big game. But I wonder how much more they'll have. that you figure that they announced that stuff last week, or I guess earlier this week. In part, you know, to kind of offload it from their existing announcement schedule, right? So if the first part of their presentation is going to be half an hour or so, I would assume that would be a half hour of new shit. Plus new shit plus Mario, I would assume. And then the Treehouse stream afterwards takes care of, like, hey, here's more of that Pikmin game. I really do think that Smash Brothers will get announced. Like, that just seems like such an obvious and kind of immediate thing to do. And it's a re-release, so, you know, like, that's a big release, but, you know, that's a big release to put out this year when they've got Zelda and Mario hitting this year already for, like, big gun stuff. You know, peppering the rest of the lineup with, like, hey, here's Mario Kart re-release, here's the Pokken re-release, here's the, you know, Smash Brothers re-release. I think that's, like, that's a sensible strategy. I think. Unless they want to do something, well, I guess, you know, maybe they just patch that in. I was going to say, unless they want to do something dramatic with Smash Brothers that precludes them from putting it out before their online service is up and running in that paid form, but... but that probably wouldn't hold them back. Ankle hurts. I got a sore ankle. Keeping the hammer down. I don't believe in cruise control. It scares me. I'll turn it on for a sec here. We'll set it at 85. It almost makes me feel motion sick. Like, I'm not putting my foot into the car anymore. And so when it speeds up and slows down, the car feels out of control in a way that I am super uncomfortable with. Like, it's disorienting. Ugh! Ugh! It's disgusting. It feels like a bad driving game. It feels like a runaway car. I feel like I'm dead. Turn that shit off. Yeah.
6 minutes max, which is the best.
Wrapping the rice underneath the surface of the water, or by wrapping itself around the rice and tugging on it and pulling it out of the ground. And I really encourage your audience to actually check out the full version of that episode on Rice Farming TV, because there was quite a bit glamorous shots of the sea of green. I mean, I wanted to create a juxtaposition with the ugly scum. But then later, after, you know, 3 weeks of seeding, it does get very beautiful with the sea of green of the rice fields.
Now, does the scum impact rice differently than maybe other crops, or does it even impact other crops?
The scum.
I'm not sure. I mean,
I don't fucking know. I'm a rice farmer. I farm rice. Don't ask me about other shit.
That consistently has water on it.
I don't fucking know.
All I know is
all I know is I don't like scum.
It certainly has affected us this year because of the late planting we had due to the late spring rains. We started seeding rice in extremely hot weather, 90 degrees, and as I mentioned in the video, it can really kind of help blossom the scum and really blows up quite quickly.
And how is your crop doing right now?
Oh, it's
terrible.
You can see
it's a nightmare.
Behind me there. It's a nice, beautiful green. This is one of the later planted rice fields, so as you can see, it's up above the water. And it's absolutely beautiful. Also, in the episode, I mentioned there's a treatment, the added expense there. And if the scum does get too bad, we can fly on with the crop duster's Bluestone, which is copper sulfate. It's a natural product, and that will kind of neutralize the scum. People
use got to neutralize that scum.
And ponds and around their homes and things like that. So it's nice that we're able to use a natural product that can help combat it. However, it is, as I mentioned in the video, an added expense, and of course it's a tight year this year, so we're trying to avoid that.
Well, what's on your agenda for today, Matt?
Well, actually, I'm going to do
A little bit of irrigating. I don't know.
I'm just going to check the stakes.
Whack off, watch a couple of those Golden Girls.
The last thing we want is a leak.
You know, Friday stuff.
Add more water than necessary to the rice fields, and then raising the surface of the water level and the scum with it, and get above the rice. We wouldn't want to do that. So we're very having a keen eye on the rice fields. And other than that, we're putting away our planting equipment and pulling out the harvest equipment. We're going to start working on that and getting prepared for harvest.
All right. Well, we certainly wish you the best of luck as you move through the rest of the day.
Thank you very much, Janet. I appreciate it, and it was great to be with you.
Again, host of Rice Farming TV, Matthew Slager, joining us, of course, via Skype, from California. Again, Matt will join us every Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern for weekly Rice Farming TV updates right here on your Market Day Report. And also be sure to follow him on Facebook and on Twitter. And also you can view his videos. Go online, ricefarmingtv.com. To meet your favorite artists, athletes, and from here in Mom. It's all part of the ZMA Better.
Is Sullivan is a 1960s Senko Agron F. This thing from the Allen Adams Cluster.
I feel a little bit jealous about all the cool I get to see just coming to work every day. No one at the Rock and Fame, and if you think it's shaken, full of all ages, because up and down like the Zac Brown Band. So come on.
Who? What? Come to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's not just the old shit. We got the Zac Brown Band.
People on the town. Rolling gang at the spot where the homies be chilling. Gossiping about the latest kind of killing. Brothers asleep and no time to sleep. The boys on the tip and he trying to creep. Had a G-Ride, so I suggest that we punch. Gova was driving and doing about 100. Hit a corner on the clay to check the spot. Seen a baby like down the spot was hot. And all was coming through in the back. Shiesty and Lil Rock, Jack was selling that crack. E-Man hit the fence, yelled out, see ya later. Short hit pulled out the big blue blazer. Boogie and Boo didn't know what to do. Jumped in the car with DT, broke a CFW. Still hit a few around the corner, didn't work, I wonder. CBD on my ass and they burning rubber. Didn't wanna be like brother and fly locked up. So I downed the bird that was still in my cup. The GY and I started the bail. Cause my trip was the home, not the county jail. Holy swoop, by the time the boys was here, go land, the homie was kinda leery. I wouldn't sweat shit cause they had.
I wonder if Nintendo will have like significant 3DS stuff. It just doesn't seem, it seems like that they announce, you announce like the Ultra Sun and Moon stuff prior to the show. Get that out of the way. You know, they've got, they got that, what is it, the new 2DS coming. Presumably they would have that there for people to poke around with. And then they've got a handful of games, right? I mean, there's still like a Yo-Kai Watch that's not out, right? There's Pikmin. Is there a Kirby game? I'm trying to think what they've got announced that hasn't made it out yet. I wonder if the like over like how the over like the they're beating expectations on Switch sales. They beat their own internal estimates by like a pretty fucking significant number. And I wonder. How that impacts their feeling about the 3DS and just like overall development. Because, like, I guess you could look at it either way. If the Switch came out the gate. Well, okay, so the Switch came out the gate and sold really well, better than they thought. They probably had estimated like a couple of different internal numbers. They're probably trending close to the high end of their estimates. They're aggressive numbers. And I wonder then, does the 3DS approach, you know, you could go either way. The 3DS approach, is it, hey, we can abandon that thing because the Switch is selling well, so let's slowly transition more and more stuff over that way to make sure that we are keeping that momentum? Or do they go, hey guys, Switch is doing fine, so we don't need to devote significantly more resources to game development there. We can kind of stay the course with what we've got, and so let's, you know, wind down the 3DS in a respectable way instead of a abandoned ship, all hands on Switch sort of way. I wonder where they're at with that. Yeah, I wonder. I'm sure at some point something like an Ultra Sun and Moon thing is probably really cheap for them to make, right? I guess I haven't seen the game, so I don't know what the, like, you know, but they've got the tech, right? It's like a new story for the existing tech, so it really is just content creation, right? Which, not to say that that happens for $0, but I bet that that game is not as expensive for them to make. I wonder if Nintendo would ever feel comfortable making a Pokemon game for the Switch that looked like a version of existing NES Pokemon. You know, just like, oh, well, you know, hey, all these indie developers are making things that's deliberately retro style to them. Like, we can do that too. You know? And just kind of bringing I guess actually, I mean, I'm kind of underselling the way the modern Pokemon looks now that I think about it, because those games definitely don't look like old 8-bit retro games. But I wonder, like, how well, like, the assets they create now for Sun and Moon, like, how well does that stuff scale if you put it on a more powerful system? Like, how much work do they have to do to those models and all that stuff to make it look acceptable on a Switch? Also, I guess they probably have, like, better demographic data about who's buying the Switch. Like, you would assume that the early adopters of the Switch might not necessarily be the younger audience. And that's, you know, with the success of the 3DS and 2DS, I mean, the 2DS as a really cheap way to get onto that platform. Like, at some point, that's a very kid-friendly platform, and that's why you make the Pokemon games there. Because you've sold a lot of those to a lot of kids. And they will all continue to buy those games for at least a little while here. I think it's really interesting how Nintendo, and this is like the approach they've taken for a while now, but it didn't work so well with the Wii U. Well, like, just how well Nintendo has done it, like, carving out their own corner of video games, you know, to where the conversations aren't even the same. I guess you get some people that are like, man, is this... Like, there was people wondering, like, is FIFA for the Switch going to be full FIFA or legacy FIFA or what? And, who cares? It's like, it's not going to be the best version of FIFA. I think that's a safe bet. Just in terms of the way the power has been distributed across the different platforms. But, like, that's just not the conversation around the Nintendo platforms. Like, they've done well in, like, emphasizing what makes their games, or what makes them special, I guess, in a way that you don't have to sit there and compare it to the other platforms. Like, no one's going like, ah, this is Nintendo's Halo killer, like, you know, the way they did with Killzone. Like, the comparisons just don't happen. Except in cases where third-party games end up on multiple platforms, but even in those cases, like, you know, it usually ends up fairly fine on the Switch. At least so far. Got themselves into an interesting spot. It's, you know, okay, good for them. The Switch seems like good hardware. I don't know, like, I, you know, haven't really gotten too into any of the games that have come out since Zelda. But at least they're trying stuff. ARMS isn't bad. I don't think it's a great game from what I played of it, but... And it's, like, suspiciously low on options and modes and stuff, like user-configurable options. Which seems really weird, because that game could control a lot better than it does. We'll be right back. track is just, like, this track is playing on satellite radio, and it's just credited to Hall and Nash. Which, I love that idea that it called, well, rappers are like, no, man, outsiders, man, Hall and Nash. Is this, West Side Gun and, oh, I can't remember the dude's name. Conway. They put out, there was an EP or something they put out. It was like the Hall and Nash EP. Is this from that? Crack it open to water here. Get some actual water, huh? That sign just says a taco a day. I don't know what the fuck that was. There's a little sign on the side of the road and it just said a taco a day. It looked like something that should have a second sign that says keeps the something. Oh, there's another little sign up here. Keeps the... Well, great. Left hanging here. Oh, here it is, here it is. Hangry away. Man, fuck off. fuck am I even listening to? I got all mad at the dumb signs leading me on and leading to garbage. ...45 miles to Los Angeles.
Vehicle stopped on shoulder ahead.
See, it sucks when I'm listening to the radio because all those alerts come through as, like, phone calls. So they kick on, the hands-free phone call shit. And then you just get these fucking loud-ass barks. Yip-yapping at you. Not a fan. See if we can get Spotify going again. Go back to this nightmare playlist. Return to hell. Okay, hit this button here. Well, this works out. Driving too slow for this song to be on. Thank you. feeling it. Temperature here looks like they're up to temperature 41 degrees in the front, 42 on the back. It's tire pressure, not temperature. It'd be weird if they were 41 degrees. Kind of cool if this car had a tire temperature gauge, actually. Why did that stop? Does that have trouble loading the next thing? Push this button. Like 6 a.m. and that sucks. I woke up at 5 and hit the road here, driving to LA for E3. We'll see about the show this year. I've seen a pile of games already. Some third-party stuff, but some of that stuff, you know, I haven't really seen that much, and we've already talked about it. You know, like, I saw Destiny, I watched a Far Cry 5 presentation that, you know, looked really interesting. And then a lot of the other stuff I've seen has been, you know, some smaller games from companies that don't have booths on the floor and stuff like that. Like, I saw Harmonix's, music card game thing. A handful of games from Oculus and some stuff like that. And I think a lot of publishers have kind of announced a lot of the stuff that they're going to be showing. So I feel like more than ever we're going to see, well, not more than ever, that's not true at all, but more than usual, or slightly more than usual, this is going to be a trade show that lives and dies by those press conferences. Like, that is going to be where just about everything happens, and then the stuff we're actually booked to see on stuff is, you know, a lot of stuff you already kind of know about. And some of that stuff sounds really interesting, you know, like, I want to see some of that stuff for sure, and then And then there's some companies that are just like big mysteries, or like the leaks have happened and you're like, that's, there's probably more than that, right? Capcom? Yeah, so, I'm curious to see how it all shakes out. You know, the Scorpio stuff seems like it'll definitely be the biggest thing going. Like, what is that thing? How much will it cost? What will it do with older games, if anything? I guess some of that stuff's already out there, but... minutes away from the outlets, stop and buy some slightly discounted shoes. That'll probably be about the time that I need to stop and go to the bathroom and get gas. Maybe I'll actually go look at that. I always feel weirdly drawn to outlets. They always seem really just interesting in concept, but then in practice, they rarely live up to the savings or whatever you feel like they should have. But maybe I'll stop. I ain't got nowhere to be. I'll probably get to the hotel before they let people check in, honestly. So maybe I should fucking kill some time. Weeda is a good name. He's in the Vita Weeda's in the building.
Amigos that could bring it up the highway, sideways my way. Every day is Friday, living every moment like every day is die day. Gotta get the money, gotta get the money. Yeah, I'm eating good, I'm not starving, but I'm still hungry. Used to be bummy, now I'm fly than a motherfucker. Every other day, yeah, I'm high than a motherfucker. Nothing like the mother suckers, nah, bro. I do my own thing, switching lanes in that thing. I just got from the game, gotta show 'em what that hustle do, show 'em what that muscle do. Them so-called gangsta crews, my young niggas. Running through hyphy, feisty, writing something pricey. Ain't got enough game to break down your bitch sight. You don't hear my turn, I guess my money. You don't hear my turn, I guess my money. You don't hear my turn, I guess my money. I guess my money, I guess my money. You don't hear my turn, I guess my money. You don't hear my turn, I guess my money. You don't hear my turn, I guess my money. I guess my money, I guess my money. What it is, and I'm trying to do it big. Having money like I'm touring, I ain't even left the crib. I ain't even left the city like the cut. Don't commit it.
The track's all right. I mean, we could have been listening to this the whole time, but you know. This is not the version of this song I want to hear, you know? What is this? What is this? Too much. version. I'm shocked at how much I want to hear the other version of the song. I mean, it gets where it's going. You know, it gets to where you want to go eventually, but I feel like I just listened to that song yesterday. I probably did. Wrestler music. Crash your truck? It's fucked up.
Vehicle stopped on shoulder ahead.
accurate. That vehicle is stopped on the shoulder. Okay. Let's keep on trucking. Oh, fuck, man. I am getting tired.
Das Katzenklonik immer gern gehört.
What?
Meiner kleinen Pink.
This motherfucker talking crazy. It's the devil trying to get me to wreck my truck in a ditch.
Riesenüberraschung. Wir haben einen Stargast. So, aber erstmal.
On the cover of this one.
Tänker på oss blir jag. Tostan i livet, livet är vår bäst. Skriv ting på sitt och på. og chef og styre her. En, to, det med fire. Se dem på, kom med tænke på os blive. Du er den lille, vi vil tjøre forbi skridning. Bare sætte på, chef og styre.
Vigte volda, volda til vik og glide hele helge.
108 miles to Los Angeles.
Alle kan lade, alt den trenger en bil og bensin trenger en fem eller fem. Och en chaufför som aldrig ska hänga. Ja, men tränga och beväga oss. Aldrig stå stille. Runt och runt som en vinylvill. Med en bilstereo med god bass. Och på baksätet är det alltid plats till. Extra kexe, extra haj med guta. Flera passagerar en hurtig ruta. Fyll på, ja, med trängligt trängsel. För snart är det fem, nio dagar med läxel.
En, två, tre, med fyra. Tiden brukar med tänka på oss bli. Tostar i med livet här från beskrytning. Påsitter på oss, chef av styre här. En, två, tre, med fyra. Tiden brukar med tänka på oss bli. Tostar i med livet här från beskrytning. Påsitter på oss, chef av styre.
Yeah. Gangsta shit.
Pussy and chick desire.
Yeah, very relatable. I feel like I've heard the entirety of this song's message in the first 40 seconds. I feel like I'm good. I feel like this song is about the same thing. Knight Rider theme song is better than the Miami Vice theme song. Knight Rider theme song is probably like top four. Like, what are the top four? It's this, it's the A-Team theme song. It's the Incredible Hulk, Sad Hulk end credits, if that counts, which it does, and the theme from MASH. That's it. Top four. Boom. Not necessarily in that order. I mean, if we're talking top five, then maybe you bring the Greatest American Hero theme in there. Calls from like my own area code and prefix that are all like scams. Got that 5% battery warning on my iPad again. But it still says it's charging. Maybe I'm gonna close the lid so that the screen turns off. Maybe that'll help. I can't read chat anyway.
Thank you.
Kids Bop version of that song. Same, I'm only into the Kids Bop version of this song now. I'm a scat man. Let's hear it for all the scat men out there. Huh? This one's for y'all.
I'm a scat man. Repeat after me. It's a scooby-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo
Black Bear Diner, now open. Great. Stop and get a pancake the size of my fucking car. Hot Chip song came on yesterday. Yeah, sort of this. So, I'm going to go find a bathroom, and then maybe once that's done, I will come back on. Yeah. I'll be back. Hold tight.